under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have here on this broadcast each and every day. We look forward to your being included in the dialogue and the discussion. So lest I forget it, shortly after our brief monologue, we're going to introduce our special guest today. We're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist media never stops. We would have thought, ladies and gentlemen, that once Trump is elected, inaugurated, sworn in, walked into the Oval Office, that there would be a recognition that the people have spoken. Donald Trump won the election by the overwhelming majority of the popular vote, the overwhelming majority of the Electoral College vote. He is the Commander-in-Chief. He is the President of the United States of America. And the very things that he campaigned on, made promises about, he's carrying them out. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to see that. But yet we need to be mindful that the Marxist media, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party leadership, are trying to dig in the heels, and they continue with their fake news. Right now, you would have thought that they would stop the Russiagate idea, that they would stop the mindset of calling President Trump Hitler. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find today that they're trying to use the Hitler, image on Elon Musk and other followers of Trump, trying to undermine, destroy, deter, defer from the truth. So we're talking about today, we must focus on the truth. We can't get sidetracked. We can't get derailed. We cannot lose our focus on the truth and what God has done in this election with his divine intervention and what God wants to do through President Trump. I was talking to my wife the other day, and I was just laughing watching Trump and signing the executive orders, watching in his inaugural address, watching as he was taking a stand verbally of what he was going to do. And my laughter was based on the fact that we're seeing a spine of steel being carried out through the Oval Office. He has walked in, not like a bull in a china shop, he's walked in with a resolute idea and mindset of what must be done to provide protection for the United States of America and we the people. He's taken a stand as any patriot ought to do. He's taken a position of standing for truth and what he needs to do to bring about morals, ethics, and values into our nation. So that's where we're headed. If you'd like to join in that discussion today, we welcome your telephone call in a moment, 904-831-0917. We're talking about we must focus on truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we go back to the truth book. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The truth book, as I like to call it. The Bible says in John 8:31-32, the context is when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's the declaratory statement made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. We need to stand on the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Contrary to what others may say, Liz Cheney and others in that category, Trump called him pencil neck. We need to pay attention to what they're saying. We need to pay attention to the diversion of the focus on the issues of the day. We'll talk about it in a moment, but for example, one of the diversions of truth, diversions of the focus that we need to stay on, is this illicit individual that was robed out in a robe, supposed to be a lesbian female bishop of the Episcopalian Church. It is the least representation of Christian religion or Christian denominationalism that you could find any place on the face of the globe. We're going to talk about that today. There are those that think, well, you know, because it is a denominational, it's a religion, it's a denomination. Now, you can get upset with me if you want to. You can call in and blast off if you want to. I'm not going to pay attention to it, because I'm simply going to tell the truth about what the Bible says versus what the Episcopalian Church believes, does, and practices today. And yet the focus on the Marxist media, the focus on the talking heads with the Communist Party called the Democrats, focusing on Trump's maltreatment of that lesbian, sodomite, embracing Episcopalian priest. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand on truth. It was George Orwell that said, he was the secularist, of course, he said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And there are those today that will reject truth simply because it's not what the Marxist media says is truth. There's a digression from truth today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said, in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet, that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches, end quote, from former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. And yet we have a headline like this. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. 55% of millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, have the mindset and statement that each person determines their own version of truth. No wonder there cannot be a coalescing of ideas. No wonder there's an impossibility to reach across the aisle, as the old cliche goes, and come up with something that is factual and right for us to carry out in the beltways in Washington. There's the mindset that is fracturing society today, that everybody carries his own little bit and piece and parcel of truth. It's an impossibility. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge every day on this broadcast. We need to go back to the fundamental basics of truth. And the source of truth is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is God's word that stands. It is God's word that illumines our pathway and directs our footsteps. It is the word of God that shows us, tells us, as we look at the world events through the prism of the word of God. It's the word of God that gives us instructions on how to live our lives and what we ought to do. It goes back to truth, ladies and gentlemen. We must focus on truth. This portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, a patriotic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flag at the flagpole. Base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just one moment. We'll start introducing our telephone calls and our guests today and what we're going to do and say. But I want us to just simply think a little further. Ladies and gentlemen, at the very heart of what has taken place in the past few days, that's gotten the ladies on The View, if you call them ladies, and has gotten multitudes of others that's all uptight that Trump should have listened to this fake, phony, farce bishop that chided Trump publicly. Now, listen, I told my wife, I said, if it'd been me, I would have nodded over to J.D. Vance and his wife, and we would have simply gotten up in unison, and the entire front row walked completely out of the cathedral. That's the action that should have been taken, just walk completely out. That's saying that this is wrong, this is not, I'm not going to adhere to it, I'm not going to tolerate it, not going to listen to it, just walk out. If I were to walk into a church, ladies and gentlemen, and a false teacher stand up and start teaching and preaching and teaching lies and bringing about the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, I'd walk out. And if you're in a church today where that's taking place, walk out. It's not according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word says when it comes down to the sodomite lifestyle that he's given them up to a vile affection. He has turned them over to a reprobate mind, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. We need to look at what the Bible says, and we'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very special guest that's going to be talking with me today about some of these issues, what we need to do and how we need to respond. We've got with me today James Crundon. James is loves the Lord, loves the Word, and has a ministry that I want him to talk about for just a moment as we introduce him on the broadcast today. He has a ministry called the Carry Cross Ministry. James, thank you for being here today. Thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule. Take just a moment, introduce yourself, and of course Lori's not here. You can talk about Lori while she's away. That's all right. Introduce yourself and your ministry. What is Carry Cross Ministry?
The Carry Cross is a ministry that started October 11, 2009, and from a broken man that thought he had it all and lost it. And as I was whittling and angry at God for taking away some things that I thought really meant something, I was making these crosses out of primarily driftwood that my wife had collected over the years, and people seemed to like them, and I'd give them away. And I knew God was there. I went to Catholic school as a kid, but I had no personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I had never touched a piece of wood, and I was one of those husbands that if I touched anything that was broken in the house, my wife would say, don't touch it, because I wasn't a handy person. So all my family and friends, when I started making these little wooden crosses, knew it wasn't me. We started making them and giving them out, and they were all gone. But it wasn't changing anything with the anger in my heart for what I felt like the Lord had taken from me, which was meaningless, worldly stuff. Mm-hmm. And that morning, October 11, 2009, the woods were all donated from neighbors, friends, family. And I had a neighbor who gave me a pallet that was a government pallet. He worked on a government base, and it actually carried ordnance. He was a National Guardsman. And I started pulling that pallet apart with a 3-foot-long iron crowbar, giving no thought to what I was doing other than, well, I'll make some wood crosses out of this. And that morning, I came around the corner of the third cross I cut out, and the nail holes that were holding that pallet together were right where the cross was cut out, mm-hmm. right where they would have pierced our Lord's wrists and ankles. And it stopped the world for me. And it was almost like some people say they hear the small, still voice or a tap on the shoulder or an urging of Lord to do something. Well, I had no name for it. I didn't know what I was doing. And I thought, well, what the heck is this? This is a pallet that man made to carry things. God sent his only son to carry the sins for man. Well, I guess I'll call this the Carry Cross. And so since that day, we've made carry crosses for people of unbelievable positions in government, positions in religion, positions in companies and so forth all over, and had a chance to personally meet Billy Graham and made carry crosses for the founder of Chick-fil-A. And it's interesting, not only the people that we've gotten to make them for, but the verses that were near and dear to their hearts. So that's October 11, 2009, and it's hundreds and hundreds and thousands now. And some local ones, probably the big ones I think you and I talked about briefly at the beginning of the show, in 2015 when the Great Oak was cut down at the Episcopal School of Jacks, we were asked, long story short, to make graduation carry crosses for each one of those graduating seniors, which we did. But this entire little ministry, the Carry Cross, my wife, who's not an attorney, got a trademark on it and has now renewed it, and we're up for the third renewal. So the name, the Carry Cross, and the motto, believe it or not, don't leave Earth without Him. The first phone call we got, I was in my daughter's gymnastics class years ago, and because we did it 3 or 4 years into the Carry Cross founding. People said, you need to trademark this. And an attorney wanted $3,000. I couldn't afford $3,000 with no guarantee you'd get it. And I came home. My father-in-law was driving, and my wife said, how'd it go? And I said, well, we can't afford it. Pop-Pop said, I'll help underwrite it. No. And my wife looked at me, and she said, I'll do it. Well, don't you know, 14 months later, we get a phone call, 7 o'clock at night at the bleachers in my daughter's gymnastics class, and it's a 212 or 201 area code, and I thought, this is weird. And the lady said, is this James Cronin? I said, yes, ma'am. She introduced herself, and I'll never forget her name, but I won't say it on the air, and she worked at the U.S. Patent Trade Office, 7 o'clock at night. And so I burst out in tears up in the bleachers thinking, what is this? A woman that works for the government wants to share in the fact your application for trademark has been fully approved, and as of a few weeks from now, you're going to receive a raised seal document in the mail confirming that. So congratulations, kind of thing. The entire thing has just been something to watch. We're in some stores. We took our stuff off Amazon when COVID hit. We are in some stores, but the main thing is our website and really word of mouth. And the wood now comes from all over the world. We still get pallet wood, but most of it's exotic pallet wood, because when they ship certain things in from overseas places, they can't have wood that's it has to be impervious to the bugs that could come here and do like what they did to the bay trees up the East Coast. And I never knew anything about wood until 15 years ago, and it just kind of opened. And subsequently, for an old Catholic kid, we didn't have a laser, so the verses that we wrote, I wrote by hand in the wood. And you don't have to write Romans 15, 13, 50 or 60 times to know what Romans 15, 13 is, but it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. So now the biggest blessing, I think, is when people call and say, Lori, Jimmy, I've got this scenario or I've got this situation. What verse would be good for that? Whether it's a wedding, a graduation, whether it's a birth, or unfortunately someone passing. Whatever it is, you and I both know the Bible's got multiple things that are going to maybe give them some peace in that situation, or some strength, or some joy.
Amen.
In that. So anyway, it's check out the website. It's just the Carry Cross.
Give them the website.
www.thecarrycross.com. And carry like Jesus carried our sins.
Amen. You know, thecarrycross.com.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd urge you to go there. Look at what James is doing, how the Lord is using. By the way, just to tap a little loose end for me, I'm familiar with it. Others may not be. You talked about old Catholic background. Well, you've changed from a religion to relationship with Jesus now.
Amen.
Am I correct?
Yes, 100%. 100%.
I just want our listeners to understand there's not that old, baggage that's being carried there.
Yes.
There's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, y'all. I wanted to make a comment about two comments. One was what Rush Limbaugh once said, that we should always have liberals around. We should put them in a glass cage so that we could always remember who these people were. Kind of like a zoo, you know, have some liberals in a cage and tell your children this is a liberal and this is, you know, this is what we once had to deal with. And and Rush, I think, had the right idea. I want to disagree with you with Trump and that church. I really think that Trump should have never gone to that church. You know that he knew that lady was going to be there saying things. I mean, his people had to have told him And in my opinion, he should have never been there to start with.
Let me jump in and make a little small correction. I've read some documents, information on it. He did not know the background of the information. He was not informed of it. It was part of the, the cathedral. He just knew with his team that it would be that prayer deal at the cathedral. Didn't have any idea who would speak, what would speak, other than the name on the card. He had no idea where she was coming from, the direction. But in retrospect, in background, my opinion, I agree with you, my opinion, it is at the time he found out who it was and time she started speaking, he should have walked out. Because back years ago, in fact, in 2020, she had made it very, very open in her opinion and her disdain for Donald J. Trump, how he should be removed from office. That was in 2020. How he should be removed from office. We should not have Donald J. Trump as president, et cetera, et cetera. So time he walked in, found out that's who was going to be the speaker, he should have gotten up and walked out. So that's my little caveat there, a little change of what you're saying. But you're exactly right. He should not have been there, should have walked out if that was if he had known that that's who would be speaking. I am very, very concerned because when, in fact, it's Todd Starnes that says that, and I'm going to paraphrase, but yet get the very poignant point of Todd Starnes said of the Episcopalians, said it's the nearest nothing of a Christian religion that you can find in the world today. And I've got an article about that someplace in my hands that I'll touch on a little later in the broadcast. But he's exactly right. We need to recognize that we have come a far way, long way, from the centrality of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Under Episcopalianism today, they embrace everything that we would call sin, the sin of sodomy, the sin of abortion, the sins that the Bible, the Word of God, says that he's against. They reject the teachings of the Scripture. They refuse to follow God's Word against sin and immorality. They embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. They'll have sodomite leaders, pastors, preachers, teachers, etc., etc., etc. I could go on and on and on. When you study who they are, where they are, and what they are, it is a zip, zero, nothing, according to the Scripture. Religion. It is a false religion as of today. And if you are involved in Episcopalianism, you want to call and tell me where I'm wrong, love to hear from you today. But Bob, you're exactly right. Thank you so much, and God bless you today. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over with the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Hi, Jim. This is Lisa. And I completely, completely agree with you, Dr. Youngblood, that the president and the First Lady and J.D. Vance and his First Lady should never have endured through that, should have absolutely nudged each other, like you said, and walked out, because you don't give the devil a space to talk into our lives. And that woman had zero God in her. She was full of pride that is ungodly. I don't even think she spoke the Bible, did she?
No, she did not. She didn't read the script. She didn't have one verse of scripture to quote from. She just alluded to the fact that she thought that we need to be like Jesus, where he embraces people, etc. In fact, I'll read what she said in case some have forgotten it. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people of our country who are scared now. They're gay, lesbian, transgender children, and Democrat, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives. I'm going to pause there. Lisa, one of the major, major things is, why should they be afraid? Mm-hmm. Now, this is my position. Sin has always been sin. The sin of sodomy has always been the sin of sodomy. I cannot make a determination on who you sleep with, how you sleep, what you do. That ought not to be the prerequisite on anything that's done as far as hiring, as far as the operation of our government, our homes, or our families across America. Because sin is sin. And if we stand on the Word of God and we call out sin, as I tell people, when I preach the Word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, throughout the Word of God, it's called expository preaching. If something hurts you, bothers you, you get angry, don't tell me, tell God. I'm just simply saying, amen, what God's Word says. She did not touch on anything about what God's Word says, but yet she's assuming that all of these LGBTQ people are now afraid. They fear for their lives. She goes on to say, the people who pick our crops, clean our office buildings, who labor in the poultry farms and meat packing plants, with a broad brush, she condemned into a life of sodomy all of those that serve us as waitresses, as cooks, as cleaning our homes and families and picking our crops, etc. She condemned all of them into the same package, that they're all sinful people, and as a result of Trump coming in to clean up the morals, ethics, and the values in America, that somehow, some way, he needs to be condemned and not the people that's committing the sin. He goes on to say, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of the immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes. They're good neighbors. They're faithful members of our churches, mosques, synagogues, and temples. Now, that's a lie. She might say they're faithful members of the Episcopalian Church. She might say they're faithful members of some other operations. If they're sodomites, they're not going to be faithful members of a mosque, because the Muslims will cut their heads off. So she's misunderstanding theology, doctrine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Writer goes on to say, Todd Starnes says, she's an Episcopalian, which these days is could barely even be called a religion. And he's exactly right. We need to recognize and go back to truth. What is truth? I've got you on the line, let me ask a question. I understand as of this morning, the overwhelming majority, if not all, of the J6ers are still in jail. I believe they've released two or three. Have you heard any news? Have they released any more of them? And my question is to our listening audience today, if somebody wants to call in and bring me up to date on what's happening, because my question is, why is it that the D.C. jail prison system or the federal prison system, why is it they think they have the authority to reject an executive order by President Trump to release all ALL J6 prisoners immediately? They should have been released at midnight on the inauguration when Donald Trump signed those orders. Yep. What are your thoughts? What do you know?
I do not know that any more were released, and I stand with you that they should have been released immediately, and it is absolutely the work of the enemy. The enemy is afraid of letting them loose because they know the truth, and the truth is coming out. And as soon as they get out, it won't be able to be stopped. The absolute truth of what happened. And it's unconstitutional, it's unconscionable. And we need to press our legislatures in Congress, in D.C., to absolutely go there. And they protest because we voted for them to stand for freedom, to stand for truth, and they're there. Get your butts out of that office and go to that jail and protest and make sure they get out.
Absolutely. Well, I think, very frankly, President Trump needs to fire release of obligatory work immediately those that are in charge of the D.C. jail. He needs to immediately relieve them of their responsibility and on a temporary basis put somebody in charge of the D.C. jail. That needs to be done immediately. I believe that is incumbent upon him. He gave the executive order. It's been disavowed, disallowed, dissed, and laughed at. In fact, Lisa, one of the ones that, and our listeners may not know this, one of the ones that was released out in, I believe it was in Oklahoma, they transferred him there at the time Trump was elected, and he said he felt something was wrong. They transferred him there from the D.C. jail. They released him, no identification, no money, no way to get make a call, no telephone. So he is stranded, and he's pleading with the Walnut Daily News for somebody to help him with funds to even get him to Oklahoma City. So that's what they've done, and they're laughing at the system. Lisa, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen,
Thanks, Lisa.
In there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, and WATY, Folkestone.
You're listening to The Truth.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump wasting no time, sparing no resources, reasserting federal control over the southern border. 1,500 troops are being dispatched to the beleaguered border. Thousands of homes are threatened, and there are evacuations in northern Los Angeles County as a new wildfire, the Hughes Fire, continues to spread. The House has given final congressional approval to the Laken Riley Act. The bill requires the detention of illegal aliens accused of theft and violent crimes. A shooting at a Nashville high school has left one student dead, another wounded. Police say the 17-year-old gunman took his own life. Gains on Wall Street at the closing bell, with the bench.